an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association on March 21st, 1986 said, "The weight of the historical and medical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead before the wound to his side was inflicted. Accordingly, interpretations based on the assumption that Jesus did not die on the cross are at odds with modern medical knowledge." Jesus died for me.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, please listen with us now and have your Bibles handy as Pastor Grant will be referencing a number of scriptures. Here now is Pastor Grant.
A lady looked through her kitchen window and was really appalled at what she saw, because her dog had climbed through the fence and was mauling her neighbor's pet rabbit in the dirt. She rushed out of the house, but when she got to the fence, it was too late. The pet rabbit was dead. She went back in the house. She got a broomstick. She gently lifted up the pet rabbit. She took him inside. She put him in her wash tub in the laundry room, washed him off, got her blow dryer, fluffed him up nice and fluffy, took the dead rabbit back, put him on the neighbor's side of the fence, propped him up against the fence. He looked alive. She figured all was hidden. Later on that day, the neighbor arrived home and there was a scream from the neighbor's yard. She rushed out to find out what had happened, quite innocently, of course. The neighbor exclaimed, "It's my rabbit! 3 days ago he died and I buried him, and now he's back!" After Jesus was put in the tomb, no one expected him to come back. And no dog had to dig him up. Amen? It wasn't the nails that held him. And I tell you, it wasn't a dog that dug him up. Jesus came back to life, and he did it all by himself. No wonder the choir in that song said, "Power." Oh, did you hear that? Oh, you see, he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." And he demonstrated it at the cross. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the linchpin of Christianity. This doctrine is so important that St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14 said, "If Christ is not raised from the dead, our preaching is vain, our preaching is useless, and so is our faith." In other words, he went on to say, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, we may as well stop having church, because church is a waste of time. Now, I know some of you believe that church is a waste of time, but I want to say to you this morning that if Jesus Christ really is risen from the dead, if he really came alive, you better pay attention. Because if Jesus died and came back to life on his own, it means his claims are real. This morning I want to talk to you on the proof of the resurrection. And in order to do that, we need to do two very important things. There are two very important questions we must answer. First, did Jesus really die? Because if Jesus didn't really die, there is no need for a resurrection. Because if you're not dead, you don't need to be raised. Amen? Question one, did Jesus really die? And the second question we're going to answer is, having died, did Jesus really rise from the dead? First, let's talk about the proof of Jesus' death. We discover, number one, that it was a well-documented death. When you study ancient history, it's hard to find two solid sources that confirm any fact. But when it comes to the death, the execution of Jesus, you're going to find that this is a very well-documented fact. All four biographies of Jesus in the Gospels record his death. Now, those of you who are Bible students, you know that there is a term called the Synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are what's called the Synoptic Gospels because there are a lot of things that you'll find in Matthew that you'll also find in Mark and in Luke. But John is separate. John is not a Synoptic Gospel. John records and leaves out a number of the things that are in the other Gospels. In fact, only 7 of the miracles of Jesus that are listed in the other Gospels are listed in the Gospel of John. But when it comes to the death of Jesus, this was so critically important, every gospel historian wrote concerning the death of Jesus. But you might be here and you say, well, those guys who wrote are Bible people, they are biased. But I want you to know there are 5 ancient sources outside the Bible that record the death of Jesus. And today, if you took the time to study Josephus's writings and the writing of Tacitus and Lucian and Mara Bar Serapion, you'll find they all refer to the death of Jesus and makes it clear that Jesus died. So does the Talmud. There are all these sources that record the death of Jesus. The death of Jesus is a well-documented fact. But the death of Jesus was a bloody death. In the book of Exodus, as God was about to deliver the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, they were required to slay a Passover lamb. And this lamb, this Passover lamb, is an incredible picture of the Lord Jesus. Jesus being the Lamb of God who would be slain for us on Passover. I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles, those of you who have your Bible, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read a couple verses there in Exodus chapter 12. I want to read to you verses 5 through 7 of Exodus chapter 12. And here's what the Bible says. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Listen good. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses, eat it. It was the death of Passover lamb was a bloody event. You know, you can kill an animal with little or no blood being spilled. Oh, I know some of you are here who have killed chickens and you have killed other animals. Please, those of you who are for the animal rights, don't crucify some of us who did it in innocence. I never killed a chicken, but I did watch. You can kill an animal with little or no blood being spilled. But the killing of the Passover lamb was a very bloody event. Blood was shed, it was collected in a basin, and the Bible lets us to know the blood was taken from that basin and it was put on the sides of the door and on the lintel of the door, on the top of the door, and there is a reason for that which we're not going to get into this morning. But I want you to know that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was so bloody he could not have survived the cross. Jesus Christ was tied to a post, and beaten with a cat o' nine tails. Now, a cat o' nine tails, these whips, they have strands, and in each of the strands, it's almost like at the end of the of this whip, it's almost like it has fingers. It has strands, and they would put pieces of lead and pieces of bone fragments in each of these strands of the whip. You see, the lead was to make sure that the full impact of every lash was felt. The lead was to make sure that the bone penetrated the skin. And each time the soldier would lash the Lord Jesus, the bone would penetrate the skin, and the soldier would not just lash him, they would pull. Do you understand? Do we get it? The bone would penetrate his skin, and they would pull so that the bone would tear his flesh. 39 whips. The historians tell us that when a Roman scourging was finished, they tell us that the very muscles and tendons and bowels were exposed. We need to stop a minute to think about what Jesus Christ did and to realize it was for me. As you sit here this morning, you need to realize that what was going on here was not something in the abstract, that Jesus Christ was doing all of this for you and for me, because Jesus loved you so much and he loved me so much, he was willing to take the penalty I deserved. Just imagine, of course, by the time he had this flogging, they had already pressed a crown of thorns on his brow. They had already buffeted him. And now, after the 39 lashes were done and his body was torn apart, spikes were driven through his wrists. Spikes were driven through his feet. Jesus was now bleeding from every possible place. His head was bleeding. His back was bleeding. His hands was bleeding. His feet were bleeding. He was bleeding from everywhere. And finally, a soldier plunged a spear between his ribs, puncturing his lungs and his heart. And the remainder of the blood of Jesus poured out. The Bible says when they plunged the spear, out came blood and water. All the blood was finished. Water came out. Jesus had shed all his blood on the cross of Calvary. And this morning, his blood has ransomed me. Praise his name.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Based on these facts, an article in the Journal of the American Medical Association on March 21st, 1986 said, "The weight of the historical and medical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead before the wound to his side was inflicted. Accordingly," listen to this, those of you who might be skeptics and who may think that this death of Jesus was something that we Christians manufactured, here is what the American Medical Association, the journal, said. It says, "Accordingly, interpretations based on the assumption that Jesus did not die on the cross are at odds with modern medical knowledge." Jesus died for me. It was not only a well-documented death. It was not only a bloody death, but it was a scorched death. Exodus chapter 12, verse number 8. Here's what it says as we continue in that little passage. It says, then they shall eat the flesh on the night. Remember now, this is the Passover. The Israelites are about to celebrate the Passover. God says, roasted in fire. Note that. They shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails, roasting a whole lamb. Did you notice the lamb was whole? The head, the legs, the inside, everything was there. Roasting a whole lamb was not a quick job. You said, Pastor, how do you know? You don't look like a chef. That's the truth. You all know me. Those of you who are from GCA know I have cooked absolutely nothing, but I have made an omelet and I have cooked some rice. Roasting a lamb was not a quick job. The lamb had to be over the fire for a long time. Like the Passover lamb, Jesus was roasted in the fire for a long time. You say, Pastor, I never read anywhere where Jesus was put in fire. Oh, you missed it. Because you see, after man had done all they could, we did the worst we could. And if you notice, when man did their worst, during all this brutality, the beating, the shredding of his body, Jesus, the only thing he said was, Father, what? Forgive them. Can you imagine that? As this brutality is being meted out on him, the only thing Jesus was thinking of is you and me. And he was saying to his Father, Father, forgive them. Oh, I thank you, Jesus, that you were thinking of me. Father, forgive Brian. Put your name there. Jesus, as he was beaten on the cross, he had you in mind. And he says, Father, forgive them. But when Jesus was put in the oven of the wrath of God, because here is what we sometimes miss. Jesus was put in the oven, the fire of the wrath of God. This every sin that you have ever done, the penalty, the punishment that your sin, young person, older person, the punishment that sin deserved was put on Jesus. And the scene was darkened. The Bible tells us the scene was darkened for 3 hours as the righteous God poured out his just wrath and indignation against your sin and my sin. And it is at that time when the fire of the wrath of God was upon the Lord Jesus. That's when we heard him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Something that had never happened in eternity from eternity past was happening. God and the Father and the Son were being separated. The Son of God, God the Lord Jesus Christ, was being separated from his Father. And it was all because of you and because of me, because of my sin. And Jesus Christ took all the wrath. This morning, I'm so glad the reason I'm saved is not because Jesus gave me a pass. The reason I'm saved is not because I joined a good church. The reason I'm saved is not because I've been baptized, but it was because Jesus died for me. He shed his blood for my sin. This morning, because of what Jesus has done, I don't have to pay the penalty of my sin. The penalty of my sin has been paid, and it was paid by the Lord Jesus when he poured out his blood, when he allowed his Father to judge him on my behalf. This morning we can bless his name. It was a well-documented death. It was a bloody death, but it was a scorched death. And this morning we know for sure Jesus died because he died for us. Do you realize it was for you? What a privilege. I thank God for the privilege of being a preacher of the gospel, that I can share such wonderful news that Jesus paid it all. And if you're here this morning and you have never experienced what Jesus wants to do, oh, we pray something special will happen to you today.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.